Hey, Sharks fans, thanks for checking out another cast from TealTownUSA.com. In this episode of our Pacific Division Preview Series, we talk with Sporting Agenda and cover those LA Kings.
All right, welcome back. You can find me on Twitter at ChrisJWS. We are back with another preview here. This time we are talking Kings hockey with none other than everyone's favorite, John the Mayor. Wait, no, I'm kidding. I have never received so much hate mail as when we had the mayor on. We actually have a longtime friend of the show, probably goes back to some of the oldest school days of Pucknology After Dark, Sporting Agenda on Twitter, aka Jenny Hockey. How you doing?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me. I am so honored to be here and to talk hockey with you. I know it's been a while, but this is amazing. So thank you.
Yeah, I was really happy to see you resurface on Twitter. I know you've had a couple years where you kind of had to take a break from social and, you know, the soch, as AJ calls it. But happy to see you back. Let's just jump into what happened at the end of last season. So first things first, the Kings, they got swept by Vegas, but it really wasn't as ugly as it looked, in my opinion, because I forget the exact number, but Vegas only scored a handful of goals. The Kings just couldn't score, but they were almost all one goal game.
Exactly. Like it was brutal as a Kings fan to watch it, but considering the way that Vegas was playing so well, and Marc-Andre Fleury, to be honest, when I heard he was with Vegas, I was like, oh, even if they make it to the playoffs, I'm not really afraid of his, like, I think he posted almost like a 4 GAA one year. I was like, I'm not scared of that, whatever. But he was just on fire. And I think had the Kings played any other team at that point in time, I think it would have been a little different of a story, because I think the Kings played really well. It's just that Vegas just exploded out of nowhere.
Yeah. The Kings had no trouble in that series and all year keeping the puck out of the net. They were number one in goals allowed. They were number one on penalty kill. And in that series, their problem was they could not score. All year, they were middle of the pack. But against Vegas and Fleury, I forget what the number Fleury posted was, but he posted an absurd save percentage in that series. He posted a great one all year long. But yeah, he had a real renaissance year. You know, he's had some rough years at times in Pittsburgh, but last 2 years or so, he's been really good. And yeah, Vegas showed that they were for real in that series, and obviously going all the way to the finals. With the Kings, I don't think there's any question that last year and the coming year, they can keep the puck out of the net. The question is really scoring, and that takes us into their offseason move, acquiring Kovalchuk. That's the really big move as far as, you know, scoring goes. The other things I look at is I see Dustin Brown. He had the best year of his career last year, and he's my age, you know, old in hockey terms. So I have my doubt that he can repeat as good of a year. I think Kopitar with 90 plus points probably will have another great year. By question, can this team actually score more?
That is their main problem, and I'm not 100% convinced that they really address that with Kovalchuk. I mean, he's played 5 years in the KHL. That's a bit of a time to be away, and the competition that he faced there isn't the same as in the NHL, obviously. So I think there is going to be a bit of an adjustment. And the other thing about Kovalchuk is, I hate to say it, but I think he's a bit of a quitter. And if he thinks things are getting tough, I think he's going to try to wiggle some way out of LA. I don't know exactly how the legal ramifications will fall or things like that. But I mean, you saw him do it in New Jersey twice almost. And it that makes me a little nervous. But I'm trying to be optimistic, and I hope that he will bring that scoring. I think maybe even initially we'll have a bit of a surge. And I don't think Brown, like you said, I don't think he's going to have the year that he did last year. But John Stevens has a lot of confidence in him, and he really believes in Brown. And one of the first things he did was to sit down with him and talk to him and says, there's no reason why you can't be a 20-goal scorer in this league. And he wants to make that happen. And I think he knows how to communicate to the players and get the best out of them. And he knows exactly what buttons to push, what buttons not to push. And I think Brown will still give all that he can, as he has every season that he's been a King.
Yeah, so jumping back to Kovalchuk real quick, like last time we saw him, he was damn near a point per game player. I mean, 2012-13, 37 games, 31 points. Year before, 77 games, 83 points. So last we saw him, he was still a pretty – he's a guy who could get the puck in the net. He's a guy who could help other guys score. It's just a question of, like, and you know, how much has the game changed in 5 years? He's got more mileage on his body. He's obviously older, but you know, there are guys who have played into their late 30s who can score. So I think that's the big wild card for the Kings in my mind. I think it's almost a given that Dustin Brown's not going to be able to repeat that kind of year, because it was the best year of his career in his mid 30s. But Kovalchuk, maybe if he's there, I think he could be a real X factor. I expect Drew Doughty will still be as good as ever. The rest of the defense, as far as scoring, I don't expect a lot, but their calling card is not as much scoring as it is holding onto the puck and defending.
I guess I am still bitter about back when Kovalchuk was going to re-sign going to be a free agent, and he was looking for a new contract with New Jersey. But right before he signed that mega huge contract that was like the biggest contract ever and then was tendered illegal, but he came around to LA saying that he wanted to come, and at the end of the day he said, well, actually the only reason I came was because I wanted a free trip to LA. I was never gonna sign. That was never gonna happen. So I hold a grudge.
I don't blame you, but I mean, like, honestly, why would anyone want a free trip to LA? I mean, there's nothing good there.
Oh, there's the Los Angeles Kings. Thank you very much. And I live there.
Well, you don't live there anymore. So what does that say?
No, I don't. I am probably a little crazy, but I do kind of hold that against him still. So, but I really hope, like you said, I hope he's going to be an X factor. Andre Kopitar is going to still be Kopitar. So his production levels might drift off a little bit just because he hit such huge career highs, but it's not going to be where we're going to worry about him. He's still going to be great. And then Jeff Carter, he should be back and healthy, and having hopefully a full year of him, that should really help the offense too.
Yeah, as much as I hate to admit it, I am a big fan of Kopitar, and last year was kind of vindication of what I've been saying. I've been saying, in my opinion, he's, if not the best center in the league, top three for me. And as much as he looks like a raccoon, I have to recognize he's very good.
Yeah, he does look a little bit like a raccoon. He looks like the man has never slept a wink in his life. Oh, my God. You know, to me, he's almost like a Slovenian Gretzky, just because think about what he's brought to this game for that country. I mean, he's the hugest star. He's brought them two cups. And I think because of him that they've gotten a team into the Olympics. It's just incredible. I think he's been a great ambassador for Slovenia for hockey.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, if we're getting around to, you know, predicting what's going to happen this coming year, it's hard to say because the Pacific is a little crazy, especially with the Sharks making a pretty minor move in the last week or so. But
they did something.
Yeah, they something, I forget what it was. Shoot.
It can't be that good because Wilson is a moron. So
but they have that core still of Kopitar, Doughty, and Quick, and you know, not to disrespect Dustin Brown, but those three, to me, you know, those are the big three for LA. And I think as long as you have those three in a halfway decent supporting cast, I have a hard time believing that they aren't at least gonna be in the mix to compete for a spot for the playoffs. I don't I don't look at them like a serious contender, but I do think that they can get into a playoff spot. I'm picking them to either be third in the Pacific or fourth with a wild card possibly. How are you feeling about their shot this year?
Actually, I have the same feeling as you. I have them slotted in the third spot, but that could drop to wild card contention. I think that they have all their pieces in place, but I think it's all the younger guys that they have coming up. They have been very promising, but I still think some of them need a little bit more time to develop and really develop that chemistry. That's probably the only thing that's making me really feel like they can make a huge, like another Stanley Cup run, like a real, real run, unless something crazy happens. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I like the core. It's just a question of, you know, can Kovalchuk make a difference? Can some of the younger guys step up their game and add to their point totals? Because really, that's what it is. You know, when you're middle of the pack scoring-wise, you can get to the playoffs, and sometimes you can go all the way, but you either need to have exceptional goaltending or you need to start stepping up your scoring once the big lights come on. So, I'm picking them to probably make the playoffs again, but I think, yeah, the whole season really is going to rest on, you know, guys who are lesser known and Kovalchuk and how big of a difference they make. Because if you look at it right now, Sharks obviously are all in and they are going to make a move. And if they don't make the playoffs, it'll be disappointing. Expect Vegas to maybe regress a little bit, but still going to be very good. The Flames are expecting a bounce back year after a very disappointing year last year. The Oilers, same thing. I don't think they're going to do it, but you never know. The Coyotes, they also made a couple interesting moves. They have some pieces, maybe, maybe not. They're kind of, I don't believe in them as an 82-game team that can really put that run together. And then, you know, you have the Canucks. I think I forgot somebody. Oh, the Ducks. The Ducks, you know, the Ducks, they're another one of those always there teams. But, I'm expecting it'll be something along the lines of Sharks, Knights, Kings, Flames, or something close to that. What is your prediction for the year?
Yeah, I actually have the Sharks slated in the number one spot. I think the Knights would probably be the other team to really contend for that spot. I do see a bit of a slack for them from last year. I think just last year was such a surprise. And I think this year teams will be ready for them. Then I have the Kings. And then after that, I have the Flames. But I want to know why. I've looked on the internet and a lot of people have the Flames as winning the division. And I don't know if it's just me or is everyone on crack, because I really can't understand how a team with Mike Smith is going to win the cup.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy into them as the best team in the division. Definitely not. I think, you know, they could put together a very nice year. I think, you know, they have guys who can score very well. Mike Smith, when he's on, is extremely, extremely good. Of course, when he's off, he throws his tantrums. But he can put together a decent amount of games. I know we talked to I'm blanking on his name right now. We talked to a podcaster who covers the Flames for Fireside Chat, and he was saying the big question with them is who's the backup goaltender. If Mike Smith is expected to play 65-70 games, then they're going to ride or die with Mike Smith, hoping not. But yeah, they might put together a run, but I have a hard time, again, buying into them as an 82-game team. Like, there are teams that can put together that 40-game, 50-game stretch and rack up a lot of points, but either fade in the end of the season or just kind of hold on until they get to the playoffs. So you never know, but I'm not really a believer until I see more from them.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I see them as being a potential playoff team, but I don't understand why I've seen quite a few sites putting them at the number one spot. I really don't buy that argument quite yet. I think adding James Neal was a good move for them. And I think even changing coaches with Bill Peters and bringing in Noah Hanifin was also a good move. But yeah, I don't quite see what the fuss is about. And then I just kind of, so those are like the top four. And then my bottom four is, I'm just kind of like, really, who cares? I apologize for people who are big fans of those teams, but it's kind of like, you know, I don't think the Anaheim Ducks, I have them probably on top of like the Oilers, Coyotes, and Canucks, but I don't, those teams, like the Ducks, I guess, I don't think they've actually said they're rebuilding, but they're kind of this odd mixture of rebuilding, not rebuilding. And then the Oilers, Coyotes, Canucks, obviously they're going through a lot of transition, so they might, they should, hopefully they'll be good sometime in the future. It would be nice to see a more competitive division, but yeah, I think they're still struggling. They're gonna have to find their way for a while.
Yeah, I think the Ducks find themselves in a similar position to where the Sharks were a couple years ago, where I think they're going to have to do some retooling and say goodbye to some of the older players and try and get the youth movement going. Because I know they're trying to play faster and they're trying to get a little younger. And, you know, maybe they'll miss the playoffs for a year. Or maybe they even don't, because that is a team that has a lot of experience. And if you know me, you know I buy a lot into teams that have done it year after year. Not necessarily as Stanley Cup contenders, but as teams that can make the playoffs, because they know how to put together an entire season of, you know, with enough wins to get there. So I won't discount the Ducks completely, but I'm buying them as not making the playoffs this year. But watch them go and prove me wrong, because they do that quite often. Same with, I mean, they're like the Kings. They're like the Kings and the Sharks. They make it year after year. Occasionally miss, but not that often.
Yeah, I think with the Ducks, they really need to see Getzlaf and Perry. I know there's been injuries, but I think they need to see much more consistent scoring from them. And it almost seems like sometimes they kind of slack off a bit. Like maybe they get into a funk and then it's even harder for them to get back in. I think of the veteran core, Kessler is always the one who consistently seems to really push. And maybe it's because he hasn't won the cup. I don't know. But he seems more motivated than the others to me.
I think it's not necessarily motivation, at least in my opinion. I think part of it is focus, because the Sharks took full advantage of that last year in the playoffs when the Ducks kind of, they just were all over the place, you know, trying to start fights and being kind of themselves and trying to get the Sharks off their game. And the best thing the Sharks did was they did not respond. They didn't try and overcompensate. They just kept playing their game and let the Ducks beat themselves early in that series. And then by the time the Ducks stopped, you know, cut out the funny business, it was too late. The Sharks already had a 2-game lead on them, and it was just about over. And I think that's part of what it is Corey Perry gets caught up in that nonsense, some of the more thuggish behavior, you know, trying to get other teams off their game. But if it doesn't work, you can find yourself in a pretty big hole. So with that, just to wrap up here, so I think I had your predictions as Sharks, Knights, Kings, Flames?
Yes.
Well, there it is on the record. Mine is on the record actually about the same. So with that, if you want to plug whatever you're doing, your social media, anything like that.
You can always find me at Sporting Agenda, and that's AJENDA on Twitter. Right now, that's all I'm doing. I might bring the blog back, but I will let you know if that happens.
And I think you've been heard on 95.7 once or twice.
Yes, I'm not sure what's going to happen, because usually I work with Chris Townsend, and now that he's working with the Raiders, I think he'll be leaving as the nighttime host. But I will also be posting if we do Puck It with Jen. Apparently my intro button is broken, but hopefully they'll bring that back.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have you back, and it's good, you know, good to see you again, because yeah, we all really missed you on Twitter, and hopefully we'll see lots more of you this coming season. That's a Sporting Agenda with an AJ in Agenda. Thank you very much for joining us, and see you next time.
Thank you.